Climb aboard. All aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Yo. Welcome. 5 o'clock hour, Sports Talk is here. Uh-oh, look at the screen, Nick. Number 10, in blue, white, and red, with the NY across El Helmeto. Eli's coming.
What did we just see? Holy smokes!
People are going to need a bunch of stuff to smoke watching Eli, the return. Oy. My dad, so funny, I was talking to him this weekend. He's like, this sounds weird, I feel bad for Eli. It's just like, what's the chance he plays well and they win tonight? It's raining, even though Philly's kind of crappy. They're mediocre, but they're home. They're desperate. The Gamen have won 2 games. I mean, they lose out. I mean, I think this is already the worst losing streak in, like, franchise history or something like that. And remember, they could lose out because you have to go back to the last Sunday of September when Danny Dimes, ironically, had me up in arms, leading my poor kids to have a Danny Dimes t-shirt custom made the week before my birthday. There's a birthday party for me here. And
Tannenism.
They beat Washington 24-3 after pulling that one out against Tampa. And then they got crushed by Minnie, buried at New England, didn't play well and lost tight ones to Arizona and the horrible Lions, and played the Jets close, got rolled by Dallas, played tight at the Bears, but they got no offense, and then the Packers just destroyed them. So now, if they lose to Philly, Miami, at Washington, at Philly, it's not a, you know, most teams would look at that finishing schedule and be like, wow, that'd be a nice 4-game winning streak. Giants are like, I hope we could win one. That would end them at 2-14 and mean they lost their last 12, which means they've lost 8 straight. That's not, it's not good. And for, I forgot who asked. I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know. And when I say I don't know, the answer is to the question of, what if Eli stinks or get hurts? Who's next? I mean, I don't know about you. I'm a Giants fan.
How bad would things actually have to get with Danny Dimes in a walking boot and Eli Manning is out there? Like would he have to actually like break a leg,
yes,
or tear his ACL?
Incapable of.
Because he could start 0-5 with 5 interceptions, and I don't think they're pulling him. Because I don't know who the now second string guy is. But oh boy, do you not want him to play? Like, no matter what.
Actually, I think out of curiosity, first of all, and more importantly, Alex Tanny.
Tannehill, it's Ryan.
How'd they sneak him in there? Yeah. As you might imagine, if you're going with a rookie and a washed-up vet, then if your next guy up is Alex Tanny, who played at Monmouth, Illinois College. He was undrafted. He has been with KC So in 2015, he went 10 of 14. Must have been one of those games where Mariota got hurt because he's with the Titans. So the guy who might get in tonight did not play in 2016, 17, 18, or yet in 2019. And what is the betting line on this game? I mean, what kind of?
I think it was like 8, 8.5.
It's 9 now. All
yeah,
right.
I thought. By the way, I this saw under, it jump up to 10.
Over under at 45. Doesn't that reek of find all the money you can and bet it on the under? But that's the stuff that always scares me.
Well, we turned on the TV before the show started, and you pointed, and you just went, "Look!" And I saw the torrential downpour of rain that was coming down, which I think it stopped since, because everybody who was warming up that was completely dry, and nobody was talking about rain, so then the field was tarped anyways. But I saw all the rain and all the bad weather, and I was just like, "Under, go!" And I went to the Oregon scoreboard app, and I put a couple bucks down on the under, because I'm like, it's going to be rain, torrential downpour, Eli Manning's involved, can't be good. And now it's looking like the weather's just going to be fine. So maybe put some money on the over.
Philly, especially in that part of town, down by the docks, south part, man, it's a misery. It's gross down there. Although the field is gorgeous. We talked with Fentress when he made his maiden voyage to the link. But anyway, we'll talk with Kelly Graves in a couple minutes. And, of course, we want to revel in the Pac-12 championship game victory and the performance of the defense. And early on, I thought that, well, first of all, in the early part of the game, just running Justin Herbert once or twice and successful. And, you know, to me, we've talked about this. The reason you take a shot deep and the reason you have Herbert either run a design quarterback draw or, you know, see which of the ends is crashing down and have him keep it is just if not going to be a substantial part of your offense, just a little seed planted in the head of the opposing defense that, oh, maybe. But the whole thing was, it was real and it was spectacular. All right, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Talk some Oregon basketball off a convincing victory against South Dakota State. They're going to hit the road for Long Beach State Saturday. Ducks remain third in the national rankings in an absolutely lethal Pac-12. He's the head coach. See what he's up to. Check out the Twitter handle, @GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. Coach, a happy Monday to you as always. How's it going?
Steve, it's going good. Thanks, and happy Monday to you too, buddy.
One of my favorite aspects of your team, your program, is when a flaw surfaces. It seems like your staff, your players, you address it head on and talk. Listening to the Pac-12 analysts and you made it clear that the defense in the Virgin Islands was not up to par. And I was watching the end of that first half. You guys had the heat on. You held them to just 24 points. What did you tweak during the week that obviously worked well?
Well, I think first and foremost, we got their attention because we worked a lot on defense. That was our focus all week long. We didn't really work too much on the offensive side of the ball. We wanted them to get that message, and I think they did. We also, you know, you've seen us for years. We don't, extend our defense very much into the three-quarter court, and we did. You know, I think for us, it's a way to kind of just dictate tempo a little bit. We didn't do it to put a ton of pressure on them and try and get steals. We did notice that they didn't attack pressure. They just kind of took some time off the clock beating pressure. And so we figured, well, why not? And it ended up being pretty good to us. We actually got some steals and led to some runouts, and I thought it really helped our offense. So, No, we just and we played with a lot more energy. No, those were the areas down in the islands, man. I don't know. It must have been that island, kind of that island life. No, we took it easy.
I think those steel
drums came back focused.
Yeah, Coach. I think those steel drums just have a tendency to make you want to relax when you're in the islands.
Well, we played relaxed for about 120 minutes, but last night we played much better, and I thought offensively we're real strong. The other reason we focused on defense, because hey, South Dakota State's really good, and offensively they play a style that's like, it's like old man basketball, man. You know, when you see a rec league team and they just all know how to play, they pass, they cut hard, they post up, they do everything, and if you let them dictate the possession, you're in trouble. So we played a lot more zone and mixed up our defenses, man and zone, extended it, and it worked.
You know, I think when you were speaking with Mary Murphy of the Pac-12 Network about the defense, you mentioned Mignon Moore, and you said that she is really key. What did you mean? Why did you single out her for being so significant for, you know, defensive success?
Well, nobody can hawk the ball like she can. You know, secondly, she really talks. If you watch us, she is always talking defensively and really sets the tone defensively for us. You know, she's one of our few players that are really athletic and can, you know, and can take people full court. And then, you know, she's super quick and just gets in there. She's feisty and makes things happen. So I think she really, you know, led us yesterday and got us started. So I appreciate her efforts in that regard. You know, it's nice knowing that you have kind of have a stopper there. You know, look at our league. There are our nearest competitors in conference, you know, Kiana Williams down there at Stanford, Destiny Slocum at Oregon State, and Japrice Dean at UCLA. They're all just electric point guards. Well, we've got one too, and she can guard them. So I think she's really going to help us down the road.
You know, another thing you talked about during the week was bench contribution. I mean, in the Louisville loss, only 7 points against Oklahoma State. And it seemed like a focused effort. And, of course, you know, being up big gives you more leeway. But just moving forward, how critical is it that the reserves get involved and understand how important it is they produce?
Oh, huge, huge. You can't win with just 5 players with little bench support. And, you know, it was really nice to see Holly Winterburn break out. You know, she was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Week this week, well-deserved. You know, the best thing about her performance was she didn't try to do too much, and that's one of the things we've talked about with her. Just let it come to you, and she did. And she shot it well. She attacked the basket, got to the free throw line. Defensively, she does a good job. Jazz Shelley, I thought, really played a nice floor game. And Lydia Giomi still continues to be a real bright spot for us. So, you know, when you look in the middle between her and Ruthie, I think, you know, they combined for over 30 points on about 75 or 80% field goal shooting. To get that kind of production out of your 5 spot, that's not too bad, buddy.
You know, obviously you were coaching. I was watching on the Pac-12 Network. But, man, did they have a lot to praise about Holly. And you and I, it seemed like we've talked about her just about every week. And you know, you recruit great players. Some just seem to have that it factor where, and she'll obviously have the growing pains. First of all, we've got to make that headband look is a winner.
With me too, you think?
I don't know about you in a headband. I think Holly looks a little bit better. But, I mean, she hit 5 of 7 from downtown. And I think I've mentioned this to you earlier. She just has that. It looks like she belongs this even early in her career. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I've tried to praise her any chance I get. I think she's a heck of a player. She's just a typical freshman. She's stepping into one of the best teams in the country whose guard line consists of Mignon Moore and Sabrina and Satu. Those are 3 pros. You know, she's not going to get a ton of time, and that's what she's used to. So I think she's still working through that role definition, you know. And boy, if we can get a lift like that from her off the bench, on many nights, boy, we're going to be really good. So, yeah, she's got the star power. I truly believe that. And, you know, now she just needs the opportunity, and unfortunately that's going to come a little bit here and a little bit there. You know, she's not going to play 30 minutes. But if she can make productive the minutes she does get, then I think, that's where we need her.
Yeah, another player that's easy to gush about, obviously, is Sabrina. And, you know, a lot of weeks you got to try to find a way to talk about somebody else, but she always finds a way to be different. I mean, you know, you set a program or a conference record, but how about Sabrina Ionescu setting the record twice in one game for scoring in double figures and passing Lexi for most threes in Ducks history? I said to somebody, is that the most Sabrina thing ever?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. We played 8 games this year, and literally, I think 4 or 5 of them, she's actually set a new record in something or other. It's like it almost gets lost. I mean, 2 records last night, and it was kind of an afterthought because it is an afterthought because she's always doing it. But, you know, I am still amazed with her. I'd like her to score a little bit more, Steve, to be honest with you. She's really looking to set up her team and get them involved. I appreciate that about her, but I want her to look for her a little bit more in the scoring column. But again, another great game, a double-double and almost a triple-double with 7 rebounds. But she continues to amaze, and I just again hope people appreciate what they're watching, because there's not many that will ever be like her.
No, no question about it. One kind of general thing, I saw that there was a video on Twitter from after the Pac-12 championship football game. You had 2 football players, Penei Sewell and Steve Stevens, were Instagramming with Sabrina, and they were kind of like whooping it up. And I've been here about 30 years. The kind of camaraderie that crosses over from one program to another, I mean, it just seems really special. How unique is that?
Oh, it's very unique, and I think that's what makes Oregon special. And in particular, Sabrina. I think Sabrina champions everybody. And you know, they always say greatness appreciates greatness. Well, you know, she's at that level, and she can appreciate a championship team like the football team. And, hey, how impressive was that game? I was so happy for Coach Mario and his crew. Gosh dang, they look good. And I know there weren't a lot of people out there that predicted that kind of outcome. Not the win necessarily, but just the dominating win that they got. So, and it's neat. And I think, you know, Justin and Sabrina have been pretty good friends since they got here, because they're both such high profile athletes. And I, same with Troy Dye. I think they've been friends. You know, they come to our games a lot. And, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, he tweets a little bit at our games and things like that. So I think it's unique to Oregon. I truly do feel that everybody roots for everybody here, and that makes it a special place.
By the way, the answer to your question is none. I sit here, I do this. Listeners, tweeters, callers, analysts, national, local, nobody had Oregon in a blowout. So
it was simple as that. Now they got Oregon in the Rose Bowl, man. That's really, really cool. I wish we didn't have a game that week. I'd find a way to get down there, but I got my own thing going, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure you're kind of busy. A couple of final thoughts for Coach Graves. During the broadcast, early in the second half, Satu started with a nice post move for a bucket. Then on the next possession off a feed from Sabrina, she hit a 3. And Mary Murphy said this: Satu reminds her of Nneka Ogumike. Coach, you're not going to get much higher praise than that.
That is pretty good. I don't really see that comparison, actually. Maybe Ruthie Hebert a little bit.
No, it was very strange. I thought, especially because hitting outside, but like I said, that's what she said, and Nneka's a kind of a special player, too.
She is, yeah. Anytime you get compared to her, regardless of the circumstances, that's really high praise. But, yeah, Satu, we made it a priority to get her the ball early in that second half. She struggled, got in foul trouble in the first half, only had 3 points. And we thought, okay, let's get her the ball. So actually our kids executed 2, I think, very well-designed plays to get her really, really good looks. And I thought that that really opened the second half right. We've struggled with big leads at halftime in the third quarter, and we didn't this the other night, which really makes me happy.
No, no, you doubled them up and put it away. Final thought, another quiet week until the trip to Long Beach State. Then you got to come right back Monday for UC Riverside. So whether it be, are we into finals, practice schedule, what kind of week is this going to be for your team before you fire it up again Saturday on the road?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's a quiet week in terms of playing basketball games, but it's a busy week for them. It's finals week, and so, you know, I've always given them the first 2 days. We took today off. We're going to take tomorrow off. We'll gather back up on Wednesday. I know we'll have some kids with bloodshot eyes, you know, on Wednesday because they're those late nights. They'll all be hopped up on Java, I'm sure, because isn't that what we did during finals week?
Well, you did the right thing and went to school. I probably was at the racetrack.
Oh, okay. You know, finals week is always one of those you just got to juggle. You got to practice whenever you can. You know, sometimes it's earlier in the morning. Sometimes it's later in the evening. Just depends on final schedule. We'll leave Friday. Play Saturday afternoon at the Pyramid down there at Long Beach State. And then we're on a flight back home Saturday night. So I think we're on the ground only about 24 hours, which is good. And then we're at home for almost a month straight, which will be real nice. But, you know, student athletes, that's part of the deal. Everybody, I don't like these coaches that complain and then make excuses because their team didn't play well during finals week. Well, guess what? We're playing other universities. Their kids are preparing for finals or are in finals or just finishing finals as well. I don't think that should ever be an excuse, you know, and
sure.
We'll still hold our kids to a high standard this week.
All right. Well, Coach, always great catching up. Congratulations on the win, and best of luck. Travel safe against the 49ers, and then back home again on Monday. Always great catching up with you, Coach.
All right. Thanks, Steve. See you, buddy.
Take it easy. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Long Beach State has a first has a brand new coach, and I was just looking at their schedule. They lost big to Cal, so they played a Pac-12 team, and they just knocked off Santa Clara. They beat Penn State. They lost to Loyola Marymount and Seattle. So I guess, you know, obviously Ducks would have an edge here, but you are going on the road. And that's an interesting turnaround. Play Saturday. Then you got to be back here. It's an early game on Monday. 11 o'clock tip-off at MKA. All right, that brings us to break time. We'll do just that. We'll come back. We'll have an update and more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
I've paid my dues time after time.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Herbert, give it to Verdell. He's got the first down and gone! 50! Can you chase your way to the 30? He will run to the 20!
And you're welcome. Our own Jerry Allen on the call there. And that was the clincher. And it was a beautiful thing. And the play that's in essence sealed the 2019 Pac-12 championship for Oregon. And like Jerry said about that offensive line, if you look at the replay, just first find Dallas Wormack. And then look at 335-pound defensive tackle, Leki Fotu. He cast him aside like they were running a drill and that dude was a blocking dummy. he just threw him aside. I'll tell you, that's like emotionally scarring.
He got a triple pancake. He pancaked his guy directly into the back of Shane Lemieux, who was blocking his person as well. And so Warmack pancakes his guy into the back of Lemieux, who then knocks down his guy. Hansen got to the second level. Like, everybody hit their block perfectly.
Unbelievable.
On that play.
The execution there. But I'm telling you, when you watch Warmack, look, I know he's big, but that's a 335-pound NFL defensive tackle that he was like, yeah, you're not here anymore. I actually, because they, you know, scored a touchdown, they went to a commercial. I went back and I was like, because some, you know, especially on TV, you see something at live action, and I was like, was that Fotu? And I went, pause.
Picture go backwards. Picture go forward.
Yep. I was like, and I jotted down, make sure you mention this. And I found the highlight, and obviously you could see from their vantage point that Jerry was like, "From they must have been like, you could have driven two trucks side by side through that hole.
Jerry could have picked up 15 or 20.
Yeah, easy. Maybe step out of bounds for safety. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Thanks for hanging on a Monday. Now you got to wait. No game. Well, it's only, what, 3 weeks from Wednesday. So, yeah, it's a comment. But season two under Mario Cristobal wins the conference, loses one conference game. And, by the way, how close did Oregon come to having an unbeaten season and, bouncing? Well, I guess if they would have beaten Arizona State, they'd have been in over Oklahoma. I don't think, no question. Anyway, can't make it winning the conference and, playing in the Rose Bowl is never not a great thing. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Ken. Ken, good afternoon. How's it going?
Great, Steve. How are you doing?
All right. What's up?
You know, I hope we as fans and watching this really appreciate what's going on, because this is pretty darn special. If we look back, very short history, you know, 3+ years ago when we're in the shambles of a 4-8 season, Mark Helfrich is let go, and Willie Taggart comes in, promises the world, brings a lot of gimmicks, and then fast forward a year, the team improves, but then we feel jilted because he leaves and we think, what's going to happen? And I think it was 2 years ago today.
It is.
Oregon announced Cristobal as the head coach. And, you know, not a ton of fanfare, not any sort of empty promises or, you know, hype machine, but it was just basically, let's get to work. And here we are 2 years later, Rose Bowl bound, Pac-12 champions, back-to-back, you know, top 10 recruiting classes nationally. What an exciting time to be an Oregon fan, not only for football, but is there any other program in the nation right now that has top 10 programs in men's and women's basketball and football? I mean, what a great time to be a fan. What a great time to be cheering. And we've got a Rose Bowl to look forward to again. I mean, everything's going great, right?
Yeah, hey, I appreciate the call. I mean, what you have to do, and, you know, this shows up with that President's Trophy, Sears Trophy. I don't even know what the title is now, who the sponsor is. And while the Oregon men are not top 10, they are nationally ranking. They made it to 10th?
If you were listening to any of my scoreboard updates today, yes, the Oregon men
they
moved
did
up
make
to
10th
in 10. The AP poll.
All right. Nice. So, and not only that, but to win a conference championship, and within the last, so 2017, the men made the Final Four. Last year, the women made the Final Four. This year, the football team plays in the Rose Bowl. I mean, if you're a fan, I mean, that's some pretty heady stuff. That's not just making a bowl game or the tournament or making a run. That's getting within a whisker of some really big things. Yeah, so well done by Ken, better by Nick, and bad by me for not paying attention. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Brad. Brad, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. So as the last caller referenced, it certainly is not lost on me. The football team did something I didn't think they could do. They played a perfect game for themselves. It was called well. They executed well. They went out and housed Utah, which I just did not see coming whatsoever. In fact, I was really concerned about them, you know, winning the game.
Well, with good reason. I said, and, you know, I'm active on Twitter, I'm active on Facebook, we have our text line, our email, I do this, I meet people, calls. Not one person had Oregon winning big. A lot of people are like, you know, I think they could beat them. Nobody had them winning by three touchdowns. Not one single solitary person.
Yep. And I will say this in terms of the coaching, you know, for all of the complaining that happened during the season about the offense being vanilla and the need to get Herbert running, he was healthy and standing and able to execute at the Pac-12 championship game, which has not happened in a bunch of other years. And so I don't know. I look at it, the coaching for the big picture, and the statement win that this makes in the crystal ball era, and I'm just super impressed. And I just wanted to add one thing about just the drama of sports. I went from elation over the Pac-12 championship game and then turned on the Blazers-Lakers and got to see Rodney Hood pop his Achilles.
Yep.
And I'm just, it's heartbreaking to me as a Blazers fan. And just, I went from pure elation to, like, flat out bummed in moments because of one game to another. And just, you know, what a roller coaster ride sports is, and really how snake bit the Blazers are this year with injuries.
Yeah, and the game against OKC as well, you could just see how much thinner their lineup looked without Hood in there.
They are a team that's reeling from the injuries. Beyond Hood as a player, and he was having his best season in the pros. He is a quality guy who made that team better, and they all loved him, and you could see it. I mean, it's just it's heartbreaking to see it happen to such a good guy. And I'm going up tomorrow for the Knicks game. It'll be interesting to see what the vibe is like, and I'd like to see him come out and play with a little urgency tomorrow night, because they certainly were still
reeling,
recoiling and reeling last night.
Yeah. All right. I was thinking of you, Brad, when I saw that, because I know you're a big fan. I was like, well, that's a downer.
That sucked, too, man. It was like in live action. I said out loud, oh, crap, he just popped his Achilles.
Ugh.
It was that obvious. I felt sick to my stomach, man.
All right. Hey, travel safe. Enjoy the game up there.
Thanks, man. See you.
Take it easy. Yeah, when you think about some of the injuries, I mean, Zach Collins was on his way to becoming a crowd favorite, and because of how well he played in the postseason, and he busted up his shoulder, he's going to be out until probably right around the All-Star break. I mean, you could see how devastated everybody was with the Nurkic injury. And you go back to the game, I think at the time they were maybe playing Dallas when they were pretty good, when Wes Matthews popped his, I think it was Achilles or a calf or something. And it always seems to be a guy who is not only a good player, and, you know, the Portland fans certainly have a special relationship with that franchise, but, you know, one of what I would call a fan favorite who's not necessarily a superstar, if that makes any sense. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, a couple more thoughts on the Pac-12 championship game. We'll get in the next day, probably tomorrow, kind of review a lot of what went down in the other conference championship games, because there were a lot of great performances, a lot of notes worth passing along. But, you know, so much to drink in from the win against Utah, kind of beyond just the final score and the surprising nature with which they held the upper hand. Much maligned, and at times justifiably so, Camden Lewis. I mean, one of the field goals looked really close, but from the angle sometimes, and Ken Woody, who you know was a kicker for Oregon, brought it up. He says, you know, the one on TV looks like it barely makes it through, but it was right down the middle. It's just when you kick at that angle with a little bit of a hook, it ends up kind of on the other side of the left goalpost. But he made 3 for 3. And a miss at any time could have stemmed the momentum and their advantage. I mean, because of those kicks, they were up 20-0 at half instead of 17 or 14 or something like that.
The one that was the super hook that went like, you know, I think like a fan caught it or whatever. That one, they showed one slow-mo replay of the actual kick, and I think he just got a little bit more like grass than he was expecting as well. Which, you know, it is Levi's Stadium with some of the worst turf in the world. So, you know, considering he, you know, maybe he mishit it or, you know, was off by just a little bit, if that kick is on, you know, turf where the, or turf instead of grass turf, you know, that ball probably doesn't have that severe of a hook on it.
Yeah, but
I would think, I don't know.
It's kind of like sometimes if you play golf, and Kenny and I were talking about this on the post game, you could hit a little fat or behind the ball. But if you follow through and power through it, you can still keep the ball in play, or especially if it's a 9-iron or a wedge or a 54-degree wedge or whatever. If you power through it, you could still put it on the green. So he didn't kind of poke at it. He powered through it and banged it through there. And, man, that first half was, you could tell by the nature of social media and the tone of the commentators, a lot of people were jaw agape because nobody saw that coming. And like I said, when they got the ball with 2 minutes to go at the end of the half inside their own 15 after a punt, the decision to bleed the clock and take no stupid chances, take a shutout into the locker room, up 20, getting the ball. I mean, to gamble at a point like that, the risk reward, especially, it would be different if you've got a kicker who regularly during the course of the season that you're trusting and setting up for 42, 45 yarders. But, you know, at that point, the trust factor, I mean, the only reason to try and push the ball down the field would have been if you thought you could have scored a touchdown. But with the ball on your 10, 11-yard line, are you more likely to score a touchdown or commit a boneheaded play and have a sack or a fumble or an interception, and all of a sudden a half you've been dominating, completely owned in the driver's seat, getting the rock to start the third? Why would you even open that door? And the answer is you don't, and they didn't. And all is well, all are welcome. All right, before we take a break, our friends at Big Al State Farm want to remind you that doesn't happen very often, but they're lowering prices. They're lowering rates. So with rates coming down, if you're not already one of the 1 in 4 drivers in Eugene with State Farm, you could capitalize on this opportunity and call or stop in for a quote. Their phone number is 686-1522. They're conveniently located on Cal Young right next to the Dairy Mart. And they know the value of your time. So if you take time, Big Al will make it worth your while. And if you pop in on Cal Young next to Dairy Mart or dial the number I just said, 686-1522, you'll not only get hooked up with a $10 Amazon gift card, but Big Al will also donate 30 meals to Food for Lane County on your behalf. All you've got to do is mention our show, and you got the hookup. Big Al State Farm, here to help life go right. All right, break time means we come back. We have the tweet of the day. We wrap up a Monday next. 95.3, The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrood Sports Desk. But the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment that is made to chill. At Faux John Madden with a very good one as we're watching Thursday Night Football that is wearing a mask that says it's Monday Night Football of the NFC East. At Faux John Madden tweeting, let's just give the NFC East championship to the Niners Seahawk runner-up and call it a day. I think I'm okay with that.
Calling it a day? I'm going to do that in like 7 minutes.
Yeah, but, you know, nobody wants to see either. I mean, obviously the Giants won't be in the playoffs, but nobody wants to see the Eagles or the Cowboys in the playoffs hosting a playoff game.
No, it's
at 7-9, 8-8.
It's offended. It's offensive. Sorry.
The NFL should make up a rule right now that if you have more than three wins,
sneak it in.
If you have more than 3 wins than a playoff team, even though they're a division winner, you get to host the game.
Actually, they shot down that possibility of reseeding.
Ugh.
Won't even be addressed.
The NFL's the worst. At Football Zebras tweeting us, the national championship game officials will come from the Pac-12.
That's too good.
Playoff
too good.
Games for the Fiesta Bowl will have the SEC officials, and the Peach Bowl will have ACC officials. So the national championship game will have Pac-12 officials doing the game. The officials that are best known for calling penalties on the wrong team after discussing them for minutes at a time. Minutes at a time. Yet still getting it wrong. Just a minute. But our tweet of the day from at Bruce Feldman, CFB. Lane Kiffin is back in college football, back in the SEC, so Power 5 football. He didn't leave college football. He just went to FIU. FAU. At Bruce Feldman, CFB, with the incredible tweet and quote, Lane Kiffin asked about his reception at Ole Miss and kissing babies at the airport after arriving. Quote, it's a lot better than the other tarmac experience I had.
Good one. Not bad. Well done.
That is phenomenal. That it's like Lane Kiffin being back at a Power 5 conference where we're like regularly going to hear from Lane Kiffin. For a guy who doesn't take himself too seriously, it's just awesome. So thanks to at Bruce Feldman CFB for the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow the station on Twitter at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. Steve is on Twitter, SportsTalk 953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it. Choose kindness.
We've got a, I guess you'd call it a neighbor in our development who has a choose kindness sign, and then the gate that leads up to their main walk says something along the lines of no trespassing, and like trespassers will be shot, and if missed, will be shot again. And a couple yards away, choose kindness. How about this? Choose one. I don't think it's kind.
No, but you should still choose kindness. And
literally, the implication is if you come up to our home and we shoot at you and we miss, and if you don't like run away, yeah, we'll shoot at you again. It's the most obnoxious sign in the world. And then just for the holiday, oh, la, 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 choose kindness. Does the kindness come with the 9, the Glock, or the semi-automatic? So, Just let me know in case. Not that I was planning to rob your house or solicit you, but in the event. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. There was some remarkable plays in that Pac-12 title game. First of all, the misconception on behalf of Utah that they could outmuscle and push Oregon around in the trenches. I mean, was the tone more clearly set on the first fourth down failure, which the charge was led by Brady Breeze, who we singled out in our Let Him Up segment at the end of the 4 o'clock Albert? 4 o'clock Albert. Hour! Wow, do you have Prince Albert in a can? Let him out.
You messed that up 3 times. You okay? Should we start the segment over?
Hat trick. Hat trick. The most proper sarcastic comment of the game came from Fentress. On the first false start at the Utah one. Hunter Campmoyer pushed them back to the six. You know what Fentress tweeted? Might have taken the Ducks out of field goal range. Yeah. You know, there was a couple of interesting moments in that game. They had a 50-yard pass completion that didn't end up in a score. How rare is that? How about that? On back-to-back series, they had a punt block, which almost was a touchdown. They had a 50-yard completion that didn't have, so two of those plays only ended up being 3 points. And you're thinking to yourself, those are the kind of opportunities you need to capitalize on, or they bite you on the bum later. It turned out it didn't. It ended up allowing the game to become interesting, but Oregon was so dominant that those kind of things could happen and they could still win the game going away. There was also a moment where there was a penalty, and then they cut away to Julian Blackman, their stud safety, who just kind of backed up and fell, and then he had to leave the game. And I tweeted out, that could be big, and the next play they went deep and hit the touchdown to JJ3, and that put him up 17-zip with 6:40 to go in the half. And
the targeting call that wasn't called on Brady Breeze that I thought was textbook targeting, like thumb over shoulder.
Oh, really?
I didn't think
they were going to toss him for that.
Immediately. When I saw the tackle, I was like, they're going to, if they don't call the flag on it, they're going to look at it for targeting. He did the head down into a player.
Yeah, but
that
Huntley
was down,
fell into him.
I mean, it was close.
I'll tell you what. Tell me if I'm wrong on either.
Yes.
The Oregon fans who were like, it's not targeting, so this leads to my statement. If the roles were reversed, would have been losing their minds if the Utah guy didn't get thrown out. That has to work for both sides.
Oh, and then Brady Breeze to have the game that he had afterwards as well? Livid. If there were actually Utah fans on Twitter, they would have tweeted at the Pac-12 enough to make an impact.
By the way, Eli just threw a touchdown pass as the Gamen go up 7-0 to Darius Slayton, 35 yards. Let's leave on that happy note, and we look forward to joining you tomorrow for Crunch Time and Sports Talk 95.3, The Score.